Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know that we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with your question or your comments to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And because it's the week of Thanksgiving, we're going to do something a little different. As many of you are at home preparing, cooking, maybe you got your ovens going, you're getting your table set, making your casseroles, whatever it is that you're doing, we are excited to have Father John Paul Mary with us. Now, you may not have known this, but Father John Paul is the chaplain here at EWTN. So Father John Paul will be sharing with us about the Eucharistic revival in the United States, some of his personal favorite moments, and how it is shaping our culture today. Now, EWTN has published a beautiful book. It's called A Eucharistic Movement, Stories and Pictures from the National Eucharistic Revival. It's available at ewtnrc.com, but for a pre-order. And you can always go out to the website, eucharisticcongress.org. And we do hope and pray. I mean, I think everything that's happening in our country and ways that we can hopefully be increased with gratitude and thankfulness, maybe that's just fruit from the Eucharistic revival. Right. And ways that you and I are participating in our mass attendance, in our mass reception, and how we're preparing our interior selves to receive Jesus and to believe that he is present in body, blood, soul, and divinity. I love the Eucharist.
The Eucharist, Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Eucharistio, the great Thanksgiving, comes present among us. That's going to be one of the key things that Father John Paul is going to be focusing upon. Mm-hmm. The Eucharistic revival, what he's seeing taking place, the power of the Eucharist, so he's going to be sharing about all of that. We love Father John Paul, and we know you do too, and you see him on our show periodically, quite mm-hmm. frequently.
Yes.
He's here. It just brings so much to the show. And people always say, I love when, highlight for me is when Father John Paul blesses us. And so it's great. So one day more, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are so excited to have Father John Paul Mary with us, who is the chaplain here at EWTN. And he usually, if he's not traveling around the world, he is our host, also one of our co-hosts at the end of our shows on At Home with Jim and Joy. Now, Father John Paul is going to be sharing with us today about the Eucharistic revival in the United States and some of his personal favorite moments and how it is shaping our culture today. But before we go there, I also want to tell you about EWTN has published A Eucharistic Movement. It's about the stories and the pictures that were captured from the National Eucharistic Revival. And it's available at ewtnrc.com for pre-order. And you can always go out to the website, eucharisticcongress.org. Well, Father, before we go off into the Eucharist, being that it's the day before Thanksgiving,
sure. We
want you first to tell our family a little bit about Father and your Thanksgivings growing up, apart from entering into community. And then about what does Thanksgiving look like in the community?
Well, family's very important to me. I feel like I should be a part of your family up there.
You should.
Like
we
pictures?
Should have your picture.
I was thinking about that. Like I know all of your family, so I've been a part of your life now for a long time. You know, I come to her choice and offer Mass, so I feel like you're my family,
yes.
My EWTN family down here. I moved away 20 years ago. To move down south to join the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. And at the time, I was a diocesan seminarian from 2000 to 2004, studying for the Diocese of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, when I felt a real call to live in community, community life, rather than to be a diocesan priest. And I think for me, that was a big part of my discernment, was leaving home. Mm. And I loved, when I visited down here, there was something that really struck me. I felt home. I felt like I can see myself living this life down here. And I, you know, felt that God was calling me here and pulling me here and giving me the grace, you know, to be here. But that didn't mean that, you know, I wouldn't miss my family, mm-hmm. you know, back home.
Yeah.
I think a big part of my discernment experience pre and even now, still, I still miss my family.
Mm-hmm.
But like missing my family, you know, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, family get-togethers, that was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
Growing up, my grandparents, especially my mom's side, I am one of 27 grandkids on that side, mm-hmm. and I had the best time, mm-hmm. you know, with yeah. my cousins, my aunt and uncles, aunts and uncles. So, you know, family was big. Mm-hmm. You know, I still, thinking about that, I can remember even now thinking about my grandparents, I can think about what it was like to cross the threshold of my grandparents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandparents.
Grandparents' mm-hmm. house. So driving down about, you know, from Pennsylvania to Annapolis, just walking in their house,
mm-hmm.
you know, what it meant to be greeted by grandma and grandpa. Because, it, you know, going down there, it wasn't something that, it wasn't just only Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we went down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom and dad took us down to see our grandparents quite a bit mm-hmm. on that side. My mom's parents. My dad's parents, actually, I grew up in the same house as them.
Mm-hmm.
They lived upstairs.
Yeah.
So I was always around my grandparents. And they're just a part of my life. Family has always been a part of my life. So I think that's why, for me, being at EWTN, we have kind of, you know, Mother Angelica would always talk about her family and the way that she would communicate through the camera, looking at the camera and saying, you know, hi, family, you know, we're going to talk about Jesus today. You know, she really meant it.
She did mean it.
She meant it when she was reaching through the camera.
Mm-hmm.
She had that ability to touch people
mm-hmm.
and to make people feel that they're loved.
Right.
You know, and that's what family is all
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure your grandchildren feel a certain, you know, sense of security,
mm-hmm.
you know, an unconditional love, especially at, you know,
right.
not that they don't feel it at their parents, but
right.
I'm sure they do, but grandparents are something incredible,
mm-hmm.
right?
But it is beautiful.
About grandparents.
So then when you left your family, you come into community.
Yep.
What is Thanksgiving like in the community?
Well,
who's cooking?
We have a cook.
There you go.
So I've been in religious life now for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
been a priest for 11 years. And we've had, in my time, we've had three cooks. We've had three different cooks going through. And each one of them has had amazing gifts and made amazing meals. Now we have Portia Perucci. Her husband, Dominic, works for EWTN too. So she makes one meal for us 5 days a week. And she's preparing Thanksgiving meal kind of days ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be amazing.
It'll be wonderful.
But we're spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're very spoiled as friars.
That's great.
I know it. I know how spoiled I am.
Yeah. I know it makes your mother happy that they're taking good care of you.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I know my mom always, you know, says things to you like, thank you for loving my
mm-hmm.
son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she means that.
Yeah.
You know, because my mom now lives out in Colorado with my brother and his family. So, you know, there's not that sense anymore of me going home and being with
right.
family, my blood family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in religious life, we become part of another family,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
our religious family.
Yeah.
And we have mass together, in the morning, and then usually we have a meal together, a big meal, and of course we watch football.
Mm-hmm, right, that's just fun to
that's,
do.
That's yeah. part of religion here in the
in South. The South.
it's not just the worship of God, but pigskin. Yeah.
It's funny, as you're sharing here. About family, your love for family, and you've done this numerous times on the show, it's so genuine. And I just keep hearing leaving and cleaving, which are cleaving, which I always associate with marriage. But I also, in catching a sense, you had to do that too.
Yep.
And I never thought about that, like for clergy, that you are leaving your family and you have to cleave to the body of Christ, to the church, to the bride.
You know, I never thought I'd be so fulfilled. Mm. You know, I mean, because you think about, you know, religious life and the priesthood and, you know, when I first started discerning, you know, you have all these kind of a list full of, this is everything I'm going to give up. You know, I'm giving up, you know, the possibility of having a family, a wife, children, property of my own, cars. I love cars.
Mm-hmm. You're a big car man.
Living near the water, a jet ski, wave runner. I mean, you're kind
skateboard.
Of skateboard. I still have that.
Don't tempt yourself. Don't tempt yourself on
that. No. So like you're giving up all these things, right? Yeah. So like, you know, one of the things in my discernment was I started to realize, there's an aspect of these are all the things that I'm giving up. You know, I'm giving over to the Lord to answer, to respond to his call. But there are so many more graces and pluses and positives to, you know, my life as a religious and a priest. I never thought it'd be so fulfilling,
right?
Honestly. And it just, I don't know, it keeps getting better.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that's the beauty of the journey of our faith journey. Yeah. It's like, you know, Jesus, I love you. I'm madly in love with you, cost what it might. And it does mean leaving father, mother, sister, brother. Come and follow me. Come and serve me. Come give up your life. Lay down your life. But then we all know that as we lay down our lives, he gives us a whole nother life.
Yeah.
Right? And it is so rich. And you just think, this is so beautiful. Like, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I didn't know it was going to end this way.
Well, I'm a part of so many people's families now. I mean, just think about it. I think about what life would have been like if I didn't, you know, answer the call to the priesthood. You know, I'm sure I would have been happy, you know. But I think about Christ's call, you know, invitation to the priesthood. And so many people, now that I'm a part of their family, and part of their journey of faith, and I grow in my faith by being part of other people's families, too. You know, I think that's a part of my own journey too as well.
I hear in that to our Lord's words, right? He who leaves his family will have in this life mothers and fathers and sisters with persecution.
Amen.
Right? But you have, and what you're saying, I feel like you're talking about marriage. How you're fulfilled and how you, because it is. You're married and you're fulfilled.
Yep.
Because you're married. Everybody, John Paul says, everybody's has to be married, wedded to the Lord,
serving them,
and you'll be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely wedded to God, wedded to the church. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Father, let's move into,
sure.
I know you really wanted to focus on the Eucharist, the Eucharistic revival. Does America need a Eucharistic revival, and what do you see taking place, the various aspects of it?
Well, we always need a Eucharistic revival. I mean, the Lord himself instituted the Eucharist on the night before he died. On Holy Thursday night, he instituted the Eucharist and the priesthood in the same event. We always need a renewal and a rediscovery of the Eucharist. Back in 2004, the year I entered the religious life, John Paul II opened the year of the Eucharist, and it was the year he died. Mm-hmm. So Pope Benedict XVI finished the year and wrote in his post-synodal apostolic exhortation this line. He says, any great kind of rediscovery, kind of conversion of people and the culture has at its center a rediscovery of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And any great sort of like in, throughout church history, 2,000 years, you see at any great point of conversion, kind of a rediscovery, acknowledging the Lord's real presence. Like, this is the God-man. Mm-hmm. This is Jesus among us. And that was a part of my own story, you know, part of my own life, recognizing, you know, the real presence of Jesus, falling away from the Catholic Church after high school and in my 20s, and coming back and recognizing, you know, the real presence of the Lord in the Eucharist. It changed my whole life. You know, I started going to adoration, started going to daily mass, and I realized, you know, how noisy my life was when I came into the presence of silence. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, there's so many aspects we could talk about today, but, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is silence. Mm-hmm. We've lost contemplation. You know, media is good. Social media can be used for many good things, and we try and do that, obviously. We try and be stewards of God's gifts. But social media can be a obstacle to real contemplation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can be an obstacle for us, like, really contemplating the mystery of God.
Yeah.
So when we have a rediscovery of the Eucharist, of the real presence, we recondition ourselves, you know, to His presence. Mm. You know, we learn how to sit in silence, and it changes everything. You know, it changes not just the way we look at God, but also how we look at people, mm-hmm. how we communicate with people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not looking at a screen all the time,
right?
You know, which is not—it's not bad. Mm-hmm. These things aren't bad, but we need to learn how to communicate, how to look people in the eyes, how to have conversations with people. We're losing that.
Right. And the beauty of being in adoration, the beauty of receiving the Eucharist,
yep.
is that you want to become what you consume. Yep. And so you want to die to yourself that you would live for Him. That you do. You have a revival yep. every time you receive the Eucharist.
Well, you sound like St. Augustine. You know, St. Augustine says that the Eucharist is unlike ordinary food. Mm-hmm. Ordinary food we eat, and it becomes a part of us, sometimes more than what we like. But the Eucharist is, unlike ordinary food, we become more like the one that we consume. Mm-hmm. We become more Christ-like when we receive the Eucharist.
Father, we're going to pause at this point and hold you over for the final segment. Pray that you're being blessed with the show the day before Thanksgiving, speaking about Eucharistic Thanksgiving revival. May that be a big part of your Thanksgiving Day. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back, and we're back with Father John Paul. Day before Thanksgiving, you're here. The Eucharistic Congress was an amazing event, but you seem to talk quite a bit about what led up to it and the importance of that. What are you speaking about in terms of leading up to it?
Yeah, 65-day pilgrimage, four parts of the United States, so from Minnesota down to Indianapolis, the West Coast, San Francisco to Indianapolis, Brownsville, Texas to Indianapolis, and Connecticut to Indianapolis. So there were four separate pilgrimages, 65 days. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I followed that leading up to the Eucharistic revival. I mean, not the revival itself, mm-hmm. but the Congress, the closing event. It was incredible. And I learned a lot. There was the procession that went from Connecticut to Indianapolis was done by Father Roger Landry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we've had him on
our show.
He's
an amazing priest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a real, like, a mentor, like, for mm-hmm. us priests in the United States now. He's so vibrant and the way he preaches the gospel. So I would follow what he would do every night. He would have a night of adoration. He would have preaching. And the way that he would teach and preach at the different places was amazing. I learned so much about our country mm-hmm. because he brought out, I mean, our country is still so very young. And he brought out so much about St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. John Neumann, mm-hmm. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many awesome saints of our land. So leading up that procession, it all converged on Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And those days were amazing. I mean, being there, EWTN was covering it, so a lot of our viewers remember those days, those 5 days. It was one of the most, I think, amazing times was in the evenings after kind of like a whole day of catechesis. They have catechesis for people, different topics. And then in the evenings, they would have the main keynote talks. Mm-hmm. So after every night, they would bring the Lord in, the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and place the Lord on the altar in the middle of the football field. Mm-hmm. 60,000 people in Lucas Oil Stadium mm-hmm. to their knees, and you could hear a pin drop.
Yes.
I mean, right. You think about what goes on in that stadium during the football games. Mm-hmm. So much noise, mm-hmm. which is good. I mean, not against football, but that stadium was something incredible. I think it's the greatest thing that ever happened in that stadium. Every night that had a different theme. You know, there was one particular night, there was like a night of healing, Eucharistic night of healing with Father Boniface Hicks, mm-hmm. Which people can watch these things, by the way. Yeah. People can go back on our website and watch all of the talks and watch all the Eucharistic healing services. And I encourage that because it was just an incredible time. There were people who were watching EWTN that dropped everything yeah. and they went to the Congress. Mm. You know, because why? They wanted to be there.
Right. Yeah. They were being called.
You know, they wanted mm-hmm. to be there.
Father, close us with a closing word. Day before Thanksgiving, you're speaking about the Eucharist.
Sure.
Lead us in a prayer and with a blessing.
Family at home, I think of all of you, our EWTN family, and maybe even those of you who maybe don't have family to be a part of. Maybe your husband has passed away. Maybe you're grieving, going through a time of sadness in your life. Just wanted to know you to know that we are your EWTN family and that we care for you, we love you, and we're praying for you always. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he turn his face to you, be merciful to you. May he show you his kindness and give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
May tomorrow be one of the greatest Thanksgivings of your life. Bye now.